So I think we can all agree that Chrysler's value is in its tangible manufacture of things, cars, machines. Twitter is more of a frothy whiff of something revolutionary. Twitter's value when it goes public this week is a huge puzzle. How it makes actual money is a huger puzzle. But Twitter's influence, undeniable. Some might even say
priceless.
That's right. Priceless. Whatever Twitter's economic puzzles are, Twitter feeds and followers, Facebook friend lists, LinkedIn connection network, what comes up in a Bing, Yahoo, or Google search on us is a part of our value and identity, in theory and maybe even in terms of hard cash value. Josh Klein is the author of the new book, Reputation Economics, Why Who You Know is Worth More Than What You Have. Welcome, Josh.
Good to be here.
So what's in your wallet? A bunch of business cards, right? Forget money.
No, I keep that on my phone.
How do the values associated with who it is that we know and how our networks work translate into economic value either now or in the near future?
Well, on the one hand, companies are getting better and better at quantifying all the aspects of our lives. So we know that they can track everything we do online, right? Google needs 22 points of data to identify you. Amazon prices things differently depending on what, you know, what area code you call in from. But at the same time, all those relationships have intangible value too.
And the closer someone gets to you, the more valuable my interactions with you become to you. And so in the way that this is quantifiable, all of a sudden it really just sort of throws up in the air the whole notion of what constitutes value. Your bank account has very little to do with all of this.
Well, right. You know, so for example, a few years ago, Microsoft filed a couple patents. One allowed them to put a number on your ability to influence others around a word or topic. So like if you had a blog about cheese, you could have a high number. On the other hand, the other patent allows them to dynamically price goods and services on same. So if you go online to buy cheese, Kraft can give you a big discount because you might say something nice about them. But if I only tweeted once about being lactose intolerant, they might price it so high I couldn't buy any at all.
Ah, because they think that you're negative.
Right.
They want to screen you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we're talking about what companies would do acting on this information, but how do we act on this information? The fact that it's quantifiable makes it – you know, part of our kind of digital memory. It's a sense of who we are that we carry with us.
Absolutely. And so this is one of the big points of my book is that when you go to transact with someone, you're not just thinking about the dollars and cents that they represent, right? When you go to your mom's house and she gives you a cup of coffee and says, hey, my car won't start, would you take a look? You don't pull out a pad of paper and say, well, price of coffee, price of car repair. You don't calculate it out. Human beings don't work that way. And yet companies and corporations are constantly pushing us to.
And in the sense of your own personal network, how did you begin to calculate your own value and how can you influence it by your behaviors on social media?
Well, what we've been hearing for the longest time is that the best way to cultivate a good network is to do good things for other people, be sincere, have valid relationships. You know, all the stuff
for your
mom.
Be sincere.
Yeah. Believe it or not.
So being sincere actually increases your value in a social network.
It depends on your brand, obviously. So the point to that is that a lot of the time people can tell if you're faking them, right? So on Facebook, one of my favorite pages is the condescending corporate brand page where they just document all the social software campaigns which don't ring true.
And that has huge responses.
Oh, yeah. People are slagging them right and left.
And in terms of the way that we value ourselves, how is this different from, say, just a resume that you would go into a job interview with?
Well, right now you get a lot of different platforms that can substantiate you in ways you couldn't before. So, for example, Stack Overflow is a website where if you have a technical question, you can go and ask it. And people who have experience or can answer it, then answer it and then vote up the best response, right? Well, if I go in for a job interview – and my employer says, you know, hey, are you an expert in X, Y, or Z? He may not know what X, Y, or Z actually is. But he can go on Stack Overflow and see that a global community of my peers has said, yeah, he knows what he's talking about or he doesn't.
So there's both a value to your identity on social media and there's a validation ability that we didn't have before. So it's harder to BS people. Although that's the opposite of what the intuition was when online networks began that you could be anonymous, that you could actually adopt an identity that's fundamentally false. You say we're tipping in the other direction now.
Yes and no. I mean, you can have multiple identities, right? So you could go on Stack Overflow and answer it as DragonRider15 and get a great rep. And then when you go in for a job interview, you can cryptographically prove that you are DragonRider15, you know, which is great. But that doesn't mean your mom needs to know it.
Do you know someone named DragonRider15?
Yeah, I can't tell you that.
I can't tell you exactly. So if you referred earlier to you could do a blog on cheese, and if it demonstrated influence, it would basically increase your value to people who have a stake in the value of cheese. How is this different from, say, journalistic authority in the sense that the New York Times has a lot of authority? Are we basically micro-identifying ourselves as individual kind of journalists with brands like The Times and Newsweek or, you know, TMZ?
Well, so this is the big question of the day, right? If I want to sell a lot of product on Amazon and I go to find some people who are big in the communities that use those products, can I then give them some products for free and have them endorse it? Well, yes, I can. But are you going to trust those people then?
The question is, you can really have a downside. The other question really is, can you increase your authority, thereby increase your value, and have some sort of specific monetary consequence as a result of that? Josh Klein, sounds like you already have had a monetary consequence. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Josh Klein is the author of Reputation Economics, Why Who You Know is Worth More Than What You Have.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.